Howdy and welcome to the Where to Hunt podcast, the podcast that connects public land hunting enthusiasts. Today is June 4th, 2018. I'm your host, Eric Clark. Welcome back to another episode. This episode, I kick back, crack open a couple bush lattes or blue smoothies, whatever the working class bow hunter is calling those things these days. But you search for a hashtag of bush latte on Instagram and I'm sure you're going to find some working class bow hunter photos or some Where to Hunt ones, depending on, you know, when I'm talking to those guys. In any event, that's the guest that I bring on today is two of the fellows from the Working Class Bowhunter podcast, Kurt Geyer and Steve Muller. Look at that. I got their names correct. I almost effed it up on the show when I was interviewing them, but it's a real cool, calm and collected casual podcast. We talk about deer camp. I think right about now, it's summer's just kind of kicking off. And this is about the time when I think a lot of us start to miss deer camp the most and deer hunting the most. So that's what we're going to talk about on today's show. And then if you hang into the end, there's some fun stuff that starts to happen. So hang in there on this one. Enjoy the ride. And I don't need anything else to say. Actually, I'll just go ahead and bring them on. Did you guys hear that thing? Did it happen?
Yep, we did.
All right. Pretty fancy stuff. Hey, welcome to the show. Today I got with me. This is what happens. I already asked how to pronounce your last names, but then something happens with my brain and I F it up. Kurt Geyer and Steve Muller, like the tooth from the Working Class Bowhunter podcast.
That's right. Man, you got that right, man. Maybe because you made it sit through that super long phone message about, oh, this would be used for training purposes. Please hold press two for Spanish. Probably what took so long.
Yeah. Keep it professional here on the Where to Hunt podcast. You know,
that's right. That's the only way we do keep it on our podcast.
Yeah. Man.
So thanks for having us. We feel right at home.
I'm glad to have you guys. I know I talked to Kurt one other time and he'd represented well, but now I got two of you and that's freaking cool. And today our topic of discussion is going to be deer camp because it's summer. And I don't know about the rest of everybody that's listening and you guys, but I'm really jonesing for deer camp and I miss it. And you guys are, in my opinion, you guys are really like the audible kind of audio, digital, whatever you want to call it, deer camp. You guys have that flavor the way you record, and I love it, so it makes sense.
Well, I appreciate that, man.
Well, thank you.
Kind of what we strive for, or the analog deer camp, if you will.
There we go.
Nice. Yeah. Edit that out so we can make a t-shirt out of it and make money off it.
Keep it in there.
I've been jonesing bad for deer camp. I was talking today at work. I'm like, man, it's so far away, but I guess it's really not. There's a lot of prep work, so it'll make the summer go by fast. But yeah, man, that's what we do with our show. We get together at least once a week and try to make a deer camp for ourselves and for our listeners. And so far it's working out. We're trying to bury it straight into the ground, so we're not there yet.
Once a week, we always kill a bunch of beers. So, you know, come October, hopefully we're killing deers.
The deer hunting a buzz. We're hunting something.
Comes for something. No, well, how many episodes do you guys have on the Working Class Bowhunter?
Fuck, dude. 222 of 21.
They were up there like high fence ranch antlers.
Yeah,
we're getting up there.
We'd be like pretty much a state record typical, you know, if we were a white episode.
Do you remember your first episode? What it was?
Yeah. Well, we just called it the pilot, and it was me and Steve sitting in like fold out sporting lawn chairs in our what we call is our studio. But it was like I sat towards the computer and I had to like turn around to see Steve sitting. And
we're sitting like opposite ways. Like I'm in a lawn chair leaned up against the wall. You're facing the wall. I'm like right next to you.
Like not even really looking at each other.
We just had a 30-pack in the middle of the – we're like a campfire. We had a 30-pack in the middle of the room. And whoever's there in another lawn chair is just holding mics, just grabbing them.
Yeah, that was our – and it was like awful. I think it's still on iTunes. Or it's on our website.
We're going to have a throwback tomorrow. We're going to, you guys ought to reshare that one.
Oh, God, no.
I don't know. I would do it. I guess we can. It'd be an okay idea.
You can hear the afros that we have back then.
The afros.
What was that, 3 years ago?
How long? 3 years ago?
It was only 6 years.
And you guys are still together? You guys got to be like a freaking married couple by this point.
I hate people.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was about to say, we hate each other, man. Yeah. I have to sit on the opposite side of this room with Kurt. I mean, we have a contract that we have to fulfill. We got like 5 years and then I'm out.
Yeah. I'm paying him off and he's gone forever. It'll just be the Kurt Geyer podcast.
Hey, but if things change in the next couple of years, I might consider signing an extension contract. Who knows?
we're not at negotiating level yet, but, you know, 3 years in out of my 5-year contract, we'll see what goes on.
And no, so like, I gotta back up just a little bit, because I like to unpack this stuff, because believe it or not, there might be some people that haven't heard of you, and I got a little sliver of Wisconsin here that actually tunes into this one. So,
for sure, man. Yeah.
Steve, I follow you on Instagram, and
oh god,
you're representing Working Class Bowhunter, but like, can we tell people what else you do?
Yeah, go right on ahead. But since you're a creepy follower, why don't you tell people what I do, and then I'll. He's got a foot fetish, man. His Instagram sucks.
Yeah, well, I mean, beside the foot fetish, let's just not bring that up today. But no, like, I don't know which one it is I follow. Somewhere along the way, I don't know how creepy I got, but like, I've gotten some stand-up reels from you on my feed somewhere. I don't know if it's on Facebook, on Instagram, it doesn't matter. But you're a stand-up comedian, are you not?
I am. Us in the business like to call ourselves open micers.
Oh, all right. Well, I couldn't know.
Dude, that's really good, dude. You know, I do it as a hobby. It's kind of funny how that ties into how me and Kurt came to be with this podcast. So I've been doing stand-up comedy since, I want to say I was like 21. I remember I always wanted to do it. Everybody told me I should. And I went through like a really dark period in my life. And then I, you know, the way that I got out of depression was doing stand-up comedy. I'm like, oh, man, this is a blast. And, kind of wanted to get in the podcast world. You know, not to ramble on, but I started a comedy podcast. Yep. And was into hunting and followed Kurt, and was like, I remember he tweeted something about he wanted to start a hunting podcast. So I followed him, and I tweeted. I was like, dude, I'd love to do that. I do a comedy podcast myself. And that's kind of how we started. So it's something I still like to do, because stand-up comedy really, because of the people I was involved with then, have led me to who I'm involved with now, which is this podcast, which is weird to think about, but on the same time, it's like, ah, dude, you know, it's not really that. It's not too far out of...
What's the natural progression? It's a good fit. Like, it's a good fit. I mean, we're talking about...
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about deer camp, and, like, there ain't nothing better than a freaking comedian at deer camp. Like,
you can be your best friend and your worst enemy in deer camp. Like, Steve is funny. Like, his stand-up is hilarious. Like, if he goes, then there's like 5 comedians up, and we're here in the Quad City area where we're from. Steve's the funniest. Like, and I just, that's me saying that. He would never say that on himself. Like, I'll tell him, like, oh, no, I'll say it. I'm the funniest.
You're being a dickbag. And you say it. So, like, when I tell you, like, oh, you did good, you're like, really? You think so? I'm like, yeah, you're funny. But then you bring that into podcast. And it's great. But then, you know, we're trying to talk tips, and Steve's making wrestling jokes, and we're like, son of a bitch.
Sometimes I push the shit too far. You know, if you go back a couple episodes, and we did a podcast with Rhea Wild. Rhea Wild's a champion archer, a hero of mine.
One of the best archers in the world.
The guy's one of the most decorated archers on the planet. That guy has more gold than Fort Knox, because conspiracy theory, Fort Knox has no gold. Don't dig too deep into that, but do.
What?
But
so maybe we should use a different comparison, like Lil Wayne's grill.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Thank you.
Actual grill, actual gold. But you know, it didn't get me in trouble. But it's like, you know, we're sitting there talking, and he said like he has a great record, and the first thing I go is, "Hey, got a criminal record?"
Yeah, you asked Rhea Wild if it's a criminal record.
I mean, he's the coolest dude on the planet. But you know, sometimes. The shit that I'll say on our podcast, there's times like, you know, we get done and Kurt's just like, dude, really? And then we'll get like a bunch of listeners like, hey, man, it was a great episode, except Steve's a moron.
So it really is like a married couple, because that happens to me every day. In fact, I just got off a call before I talked to you guys with a buddy of mine, and my wife's in the background. She's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? How do you make everything awkward? How do you run a podcast or get through a day at work without making weird comments all the time? I'm like, I don't know. I don't have you commenting on it, so I guess I'm never aware of it until I'm around you.
Well, Steve does get like that a lot, too. And, like, we bicker, but, like, I don't know. It's just how you are with your friends, you know, that you're close with.
Yeah. And then we may have boxed it out.
For example, we had some chick on from Wisconsin. You might know her. She brought us cheese. I think her name was Allison.
Oh, so, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it was Allison.
That's good.
Yeah, I actually can't remember her name. She was really cool when she brought us cheese. So.
Oh, you mean Allison. Oh, Allison, the the one chick, yeah, she brought summer shandies all the way down from Madison, Wisconsin. We're just doing that to dig at her.
She brought shandies. She didn't. Did she bring spotted cow? I thought she brought some spotted cow.
She brought some spotted cow, but that that beer kept tipping over to the left, so we don't drink that no more.
Well, for example, like Steve's normally the guy to do some crazy stuff on the show, but on the episode that Allison was on, I brought something up about blended Bloody Marys. I won't go into detail.
I brought that up. I said,
"Oh yeah," but I'm the one that like blasted it off into something weird,
and then it became a thing. So if you go back and listen to the episode with Allison, like you should anyway, you'll hear the inside joke, and we're like, "Oh shit!" That was like one of the "oh shit" moments. But like our fan base latched onto it, and they started sending us pictures of them getting blenders and Bloody Mary mix, and it's a whole lot of fun. It's
the shit we pull in between our hunting conversation, basically.
Yeah, it's really nice that we can say some, you know, off-the-wall stuff, and our listening base latches onto it. And, you know, that's, like, the second best thing we get, other than, like, when people send, like, Harvest, and they've got the working-class bow hunter hat on and stuff. And it's it's a really cool feeling when you get guys that are like, "Hey man, we're in hunting camp right now. We're listening to you guys." I'm like, "What, over a loudspeaker? What the hell are you doing with your life?" But I mean, we put it in something out that people enjoy,
some people enjoy.
You know, some, not all, but that's like the greatest thing that we could ever ask for.
Bring it back into hunting camp. You know, just like any podcast brings people together because you're having conversation, and like we're not sitting here staring at our phones. And that's what hunting camp is, and what it should be is you're with your hunting buddy, talking about hunting, BS about whatever else in between your hunting conversation, and you're having fun. So that's what we do.
Then you just tell them like raunchy ass jokes. I tell you, like I said, that you guys are like, you know, what we called it, the analog version of a deer camp. And you guys, you guys are off the wall. Like, man, if they had a freaking microphone in the middle of our deer camp, the conversations that go on there, I don't know, man. Like we would be like Roseanne and get kicked off the freaking show real quick.
Poor Roseanne.
Yeah, what the hell? Anyway.
It's funny that you say that because we said some pretty brutal, like anything too bad, but to the point where it's job site talk kind of in a way.
Yeah, really is, dude.
To where, you know, you're always going to have someone's like we had people like, you know, "I couldn't listen to your podcast. My kid was in the car." I'm like, "Yeah, they're marked explicit though. Like you can't be mad at us."
Yeah, but you know, and then I don't get that too. I remember somebody said, "Yeah, I tried to have you on in the job site, but I had to keep it low." I'm like, who's going to get offended on a job site? Unless I could see if the white hat.
People, Blair, Bob, and Tom.
Yeah. On the radio. Like, I could see that if, like, you know, some of the, or, you know, if you've got, like, the office people walking through your shop. I get that. But, I mean, this is real life, and this is what we do. I mean, we swear, we drink beer, and we kill some deer. I mean, we don't want to put a mask on for you guys. I mean,
that's a good way to say it. That's a really good way to say it. I'm doing this for me. Like, I'm not going to censor my shit to make you happy when it's an on-demand thing. You don't have to listen. You know, go find
exactly.
Thing
you don't have
saying,
to
but
listen.
Tell you what, I bet you're listening for a reason because you actually do like this stuff. So,
right,
what
no
are
doubt.
For?
Especially if you think about like how deep you are in on some of your podcasts. Like, oh, that was an hour in, and I said something, and you made it that far.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, you really hate us. Huh?
Like I know you at least listen to an hour of us talking out of a 2.5 hour podcast.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, it is, you know, kind of like tying it into hunting camp again. You know, there's a lot of times where you're like, "Oh man, I wish you could share hunt camp with that guy," and it's cool for us to be able to meet some of the people we've met. You know, heroes of ours, like I mentioned, Rhea Wild. Now I don't just mean the name drop, but I'm gonna. Because, you know, it's what type of person I am. But, you know, we've...
Who I am, baby.
Yeah.
Stand-up. You know, what'd you call yourself again? Stand-up? No, I said stand-up.
Open micer.
Stupid open micer.
Yeah. Open micist. Yeah. Dropping the dopest 3-minute bits. But, you know, we've had cats like T-Bone on. I'm just trying to
figure out names.
Yeah, you're out names. No,
we got the name drop. We got the one. We're good, guys.
Well, yep. Yeah, T-Bone.
But, you know, it's a lot of these guys. For instance, and also we had the Lindsay Ways, both Jeff and David. Both Jeff and David. Yeah, so we've had these guys on. And it's cool for us because people are like, "I'd love to have hunt camp with that guy, but in the position that a lot of people are in, you're probably never going to have hunt camp with a lot of these guys. Well, you know, we get them on and we act the way we act, just like a lot of other people do. And so it's a really relatable thing. And we treat
we
it
hope though, it is anyway.
We hope so. We're thinking how we feel it is.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's less formal. I'm talking out of the side of my neck.
Yeah, you get the side of my neck. You get these big names on, and if they get anywhere else and they're treated like, you know, like their shit doesn't stink. But they get on your show and you humble them, you treat them like a real human being, and you break it down and you bust up their ego a little bit if they have one, and then you get into a real conversation, like you said, what is it like to actually have this guy at deer camp or gal or whatever? And that's
sure.
cool. I don't think any other podcast can do that. I mean, I probably could, but I'm not trying to, you know, go tit for tat with you guys here.
Well, I appreciate that.
You want to compare numbers, buddy?
It's just something that, I don't know. I just feel like it's something that should just happen, you know, without really thinking about it, because the best thing about hunting camp is talking and, like, you're building a connection with whoever you're hunting with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, your hunting buddies are your closest friends, because you guys share the same passion and you guys it's just different. It's just a deeper type of friendship.
No matter where you're at, you know, you're always just having a conversation with the guys, you know, like, but you know, for instance, when we had Mitch Petrie, you know, VP of,
wow, you're really name dropping, bro.
Yeah,
he's pretty douchey.
Hold on, I'll reel it in. But he's pretty high up at Sportsman's Outdoor Network, and you know, you take the status away from, you know, and or say T-Bone too, but you take the status away, and it's just a couple dudes having a phone conversation, you know, or having a conversation in the studio
about the thing we love,
almost no different
than titles and none of that shit, right? Like,
exactly,
you had a real freaking conversation that is super relatable.
Exactly, and that's what we always like to go for.
Yeah, that's cool. So what's your favorite? So let's do this. I don't know, there's not a favorite. If you could I have a gun to your head right now, what's your favorite thing in deer camp? What's the thing you look forward to most when you're thinking about it right now? We're jonesing for it. What is it that's making us think about it so much?
I'm thinking if it's like you're back at the camp with everyone. Is that what you mean? Or you just mean like any aspect?
Looking forward like to going to deer camp, not even like to go hunting, but we're talking about, I want to get to deer camp. Why?
He's got a gun to your head. Remember.
Okay. I like the
38 special plus B.
If there is success or a blood trail, that's not that it has to be success to be fun, but those are the moments you wait for all year. The, like, the group celebration of a successful hunt, like someone had a good hunt or connected with an arrow, and either it's an easy find, or I like the, okay, you're breaking down the blood trail and you're learning on how you're going to get on this animal or recover the animal. Like, that is the most fun / anxiety ridden moment that I really love and look forward to every year about hunting season and hunting camp. That's me. Steve's just talking and drinking beer.
I think for me, it's just kicking it with the homies. You know, one of my favorite things about beer, drinking some hen dog, boy. No, I liked last year. Me and Kurt had not a staycation, but rutcation, where I basically just crashed his house for a couple of days, and we woke up.
Dad was over, and
your dad was there, and dude, we watched super old. We were watching old Drury tapes and Monster Bucks, and just, you know, watching it, and all of a sudden I was like, hey, go to bed, and one of the best nights of sleep I ever had. Kurt puts me up in his spare bedroom because he's a millionaire, and there's this light in there, dude, that smiley face light, you know what I'm talking about?
Good luck for hunting, man.
It is the best luck. And to me, that was one of the highlights. Was like, I was going to sleep. I was trying to lay down. I didn't have to worry about work. I was surrounded by a bunch of people that loved the same thing I love. I ate good. I was so relaxed. And I was just looking at this light. And it's a smiley face light. And I was like, dude, life is good right now. And that's one of my favorite feelings, and I can't wait to have it again, where you just are like, dude, all I got to do is wake up and hunt the rut.
Yeah.
That's all I got to do. I mean, yeah, there's the stresses of, oh, shit, should I set up here? Should I go there?
That's part of the fun now at the same time.
Yeah, it is part of the fun. But the thing was, I didn't have to do shit. I didn't have to clock in. I didn't have to listen to a boss bitching. I just had to wake up and do what I love.
Yeah.
And I was with the people that I love. So that's the shit that I enjoy.
That's
and I can't
enjoy.
Look. I'm looking forward to that.
Then your answer was way better than mine.
Really? I talked about it.
It was kind of long and rambly, but it was better.
Talking about
that's
it.
That's the thing. I think like that's. I knew that was gonna happen because it's hard to freaking describe because it's more than a thing. It's this whole feeling that we get, and we're like, fuck, I can't wait. And it doesn't even make any damn sense. It's like you're gonna go hang out with a bunch of dudes all week, and what's so fun about that? I'm like, you don't understand. Like, you don't have the slightest clue. And for me, it's I freaking love when I get into the woods because we fuck around in the woods a little bit. We first get up there on Friday night, and we went on the same public land for a while now, like 7 or 8 years or something. And I actually got a good chunk of my buddies into hunting. It used to just be my dad and I, but now we got a whole group of us because I actually got people into hunting that never hunted before. So like there's some pride there. And then for me, it's when I get into that forest and all of a sudden the memories start to come to life. Like if you could picture a film reel playing the shit in front of your face and you can picture it coming to life for that couple of moments where you're talking about it. Like we get into there and we're like, remember the da 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 and this time, remember when it came up that way, remember when we tracked it. And like when those stories start to come to life year after year, so this coming year, I'm looking forward to the stories that we stacked on to the rest of the memories from last year that we didn't get to talk about.
Right.
Yeah. Share yet as stories because they were still fresh in reality. And now next year, that's going to be a story. And there's all these memories
that
got built on that I'm just like, That's the part for me where once that happens, I feel so good. It doesn't make any sense. Kind of like when you put your head on that pillow at night, like, man, this is the place to be.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up, man, because that is true. Like, you don't talk about the moments that happen. I mean, you might reminisce a little bit, like, oh, yeah, man, a couple weeks ago, I wish this would have happened differently. But when you got a year stacked on that story for hunting camp, it ages like a good whiskey. Like, it just gets it becomes a better, more meaningful story. When you're talking about it, like, last year, for deer, I had a pretty rough season. I struggled, but nothing came easy. And, you know, I'm grateful for that, though. I'm thankful it was that way because it's a different appreciation, and it made your hustle different this year. It's gonna change the way I get after things for sure. And I learned a lot of things about just little shit I do without getting, like, super into detail, like my archery. I'm going to keep my setup, but I just know I need to fine-tune things a little more to make things happen a certain way. And that's the stuff we talk about in camp. Like, you know, part of hunting camp is there's a downside to hunting camp, and that's beating yourself up and scratching your head and going, fuck, dude, I should have, would have, could have. I wish I would have done this differently. I should have done this. He was this far instead of this far, and I shot him for this. And it's that's part of the fun and the memories, and that's what makes a good hunter and makes hunting camp. That's what makes the success in hunting camp are those moments.
Well, that's the difference between bow hunting and gun hunting and hunting camp because – when you beat yourself up, when you're at deer camp, your buddies are there to lift you back up. And they don't do it in a positive kumbaya kind of way. They do it in like a you're dumb bitch kind of way.
There's a little bit of both, man. There's a little bit of both. Yeah, like for sure you're going to have your buddies be like, fuck, dude, what are you thinking? But I don't feel like I bust balls too much on that type of thing. I don't think I have, like, maybe a little bit. But I feel like because I always like picture, like, I have done that. But I'm not saying I do it all the time. I'm like, dude, I know that sucks. Like, I feel
free,
it's man.
Yeah, you're
but,
right. No, it really is a little bit more of that. Like, dude, it's
all good. If it was a doe, like, oh, yeah, man. Well, now you know, at least it wasn't a big buck.
Well, and your thing is, I tell this all the time on our podcast. Or you can check it out at workingquestbowhunter.com, just in case you were wondering.
You're a dude.
Spent, you like that, dude? Oh, man, I had to do it. But no, Kurt's one of those guys that, it gets more excited when his buddies kill bucks. He's like the first guy. I remember this one time Eric brought this buck over, and because Kurt was the first guy in there, like just grabbing this buck. Oh man, how old is he? Like pulling his lips back, like checking his teeth, just so excited and just kind of looking at us like no one's this excited. You love when your friends kill bucks, Kurt, and you know, if you're going to be hard on somebody, it's only because, you know, you want, like, and how you explain that blood trail moment, like, you want everybody in camp to be successful. And that's
half the reason why, or that's not half the reason, that's the reason why camp gets together. I mean, everyone
else to be successful. Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. Was knowing that chances are everybody's success rate is like 100% success isn't really that normal, but you hope it is, and it's awesome if it is, but you're enjoying the moment. You just also want to be out there with your boys, and you want your boys and gals to succeed. I don't know.
Like, what about that first freaking gunshot you hear, and it came in the direction where you think someone's sitting, and you're like, oh, I freaking knew it. I knew he was going to get
Well, why are they gun hunting during bow season is my question.
Uh-oh. We better go freaking run. The DNR's coming. Well, that's...
Then
the camaraderie you get with deer camp. Like, I know there's probably guys that do deer camp for bow. I'm not one of them. Bow hunting is, like, super intimate. It's usually me and a buddy, depending on which weekend it is and who's got availability. But gun here in Wisconsin, our gun opener... It's like a state holiday. I mean,
yeah, I've heard that. My dad grew up in Wisconsin. That's what he says too, is just like that. But
the thing is, the town of Sherrard does that too. Our buddy's Mike right across through. I actually work with
him. They live catty corner from the studio. Throw a big. But the thing here's, I want to make a point though that they throw a big first firearm season party, which is cool. But for us, when we talk about hunting camp, it's that in Illinois, we take typically. It depends on the year and how things are going. Typically, we take the week before the week of shotgun season starts, mm-hmm. and that's our – we'll always take that whole week off, and that's a week-long archery hunting camp for us. That's typically how we do it. Iowa's a little different because their gun seasons fall a little different, but it's pretty much the same week. Mm-hmm. So that's how we do it. We all take vacation the week before firearm. And now in Illinois, if you have a valid firearm tag, you can bow hunt during gun season, which is the shit.
Which is awesome, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's how we rock it.
That's freaking cool. I'm trying to think of the other
stuff. Gotta make it work one way.
Like,
I just want to point out too, for all you anti-hunters who are listening for ammunition, and you're trying to figure out what deer camp really feels like. Just imagine how it feels the night before, or you know when you're hanging out with your slum buddies, and you know you're gonna wake up and protest whatever George Soros allegedly is paying you for. That's how hunting camp feels. When you know you're gonna wake up at the crack of dawn and you're gonna protest and you don't know what's coming. You just know you're gonna be out there protesting something.
Oh, that's what you're gonna...
Allegedly.
You get tear gas or what? What's gonna happen?
What we're gonna see.
You guys ever met tear gas before? You ever experienced that?
Never, man. I've not been maced or anything like that.
I've been maced before.
You've been maced?
Oh, yeah, that shit sucks. One of my buddies got a hold of me. His dad was a cop, and we decided to mace me, and that shit sucks. Tell me that right now. Don't break the law, guys.
It's rough. I did the gas chamber, and that shit was terrible, man.
Whew. I heard that drains, like, all your sinuses.
Yeah, everyone was sick. You know, you're all sick, 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 and then suddenly, you know, after that, you're better. So everything that was in is now out, and you're good. That was the only
positive. How long did that last when you had to go in there? Like, how long did you feel like shit?
No, it was pretty, like, once you got out, you recovered quick. But when you're in there, it's like, there are people literally running into walls. It was pretty brutal. I mean, it's just a matter of, like, you want to trust the equipment and the gear and you want to make sure it works. So they really put you through the ringer to make sure that you understand that shit works. So they make you experience what the tear gas feels like.
Man, that's brutal. Yeah. That is brutal. Fuck My best friend got was in the military, and he got maced. He's an MP. He's like, I would never wish that on my worst enemy, man.
Burns your skin, and then when you actually breathe it in, you cannot actually breathe. And I had like a little panic moment. I forgot to clear my mask. I did every step correctly. I just forgot one of the steps. So I kept breathing in the shit, and they're like, what's that dance, Clark? What's that dance? So I was trying to like show that I couldn't breathe with my hands.
Oh, my God.
Put their hand over.
I would feel like I was dying.
Yeah, I thought I was. I thought I was dying. And then, you know, I wasn't. It was fine.
He's like, I woke up.
Yeah, no, I've never been tased before. But, yeah, that may suck. But it was like that
home stuff. It wasn't like bear mace or anything. I don't know.
Bear mace.
You got hit with a little keychain mace.
Yeah, no, because it was like a little, it was a little too, but it wasn't like, you know, when you see like cops walking around like riot stuff.
I saw a video of Dakota getting maced. It was like canister.
Ooh, yeah, no, it wasn't that.
Eric, I'm assuming that's what you got hit with, was like the full blown canister stuff, huh?
They had some, dude, no, they had like some sort of like actual rock on a like grate of fire and steaming something. It was like some hyperactive shit. It was like tear gas.
Oh, it sounds awful.
It was a giant crack rock is what they did. You overdosed on crack is what happened.
I don't really know what the hell is going on the whole time hearing that shit, but like that was a whole nother scenario. Like, what the fuck? And you're hearing guys screaming before you go in. You're hearing people hit the walls. You're like, the fuck is actually going on in there?
They butane torched one of either the Himalayan salt rock or the biggest peppercorn ever.
It was, yeah, but something like that.
Next hunt camp, when you guys are at hunt camp together, and you're not listening to Word Hunt podcast or Word and Class Bowhunter podcast, mace each other. That sounds bad.
There'll be some great stories. Like you ever watch that YouTube channel that was like really popular a while back called FPS Russia?
Yeah, what happened to that dude?
I don't know. I actually kind of wonder now, but he did that one where he maced himself first, and then he's like, well, that was a terrible idea, you know?
I actually watched a video on that the other day. This is like a random thing. I'll like go quick.
Really?
That dude's not actually Russian.
No, not at all.
Yeah,
he's
I knew that.
He's American.
Yep, and he can't own a firearm anymore. Something happened where... Oh, don't quote me on all this. I watched a video. They found out who his firearm supplier was. It wasn't all his guns. It was a guy he knew that owned some sort of like dealership. And then he got in trouble for something and then can't own a gun. And then therefore he can't upload videos of guns.
No, he's a felon.
That, and I think like YouTube is limiting like gun videos in a certain way. So it was going to put a damper on his videos. And
dude, he was the best YouTube channel ever. And then he started guesting on the food one, Epic Mealtime. And
oh yeah, he actually, the guy does a podcast. He guest hosts with like four other people on a podcast.
Really?
I can't remember which one it is. I didn't absorb all the details.
Man. FPS Russia and he started off as a gamer, first person shooter Russia with a stupid Russian accent, and then he got like, dude, he had a fucking tank. At some
point.
He had everything.
He did some like crazy Tannerite videos and everything.
I remember the Tannerite video.
Yeah, that was cool. I don't know. That's. It sucks. It
makes me want to buy an AK. I want to own an AK-47.
Those are the kind of videos I used to watch at deer camp. Like, let's just watch some guys shoot all these guns. We actually did that. My buddies and I, we packed his trunk full of a Toyota Camry, full of guns. And we drove up to his land. He had private land up in Adams County. And, you know, we thought it'd be cool, like, buy, like, some watermelons, some freaking 2-liter bottle of soda. And I was like, let's get some shit that can blow up. And he's like, no, I don't know, man, like. That's my land. Like, what if something weird happens? I'm like, dude, it's fine. You have like however many acres. It was a shit ton. And so we got like one bottle of WD-40 from the gas station. Like, we'll see what happens. Nothing happened, by the way. Heads up. And then all the other shit we shot just attracted a bunch of bees. So, but I just remember like blasting
jars of honey,
drinking beers, and shooting guns with bandanas on. Like, it was America. Like, it was a pretty fun day. That was like a mini deer camp.
Thursday.
Yeah,
another day. A random Thursday in June.
Another day in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Bought a cow and cheese.
Yeah. I'm sure we had some cheese curds and they made our teeth squeak. That's what we do here.
You guys actually, I thought you guys just lived on cheese curds and like just processed meat.
Yeah, smoked sausage.
That's what I eat every time I'm in Wisconsin. Cheese curds and like,
what was that sausage? Well, we went up to Wisconsin Rapids. We visited HHA's headquarters. And what was the stuff I got? We stopped at some random gas station, and like every place up there, I don't know if it's Polish or German, but they have like processed meat in some
Polish cheese. Sausage.
I don't know what it was called.
It's like jerky bites and like cheese. It's all mixed.
Dude,
the freaking snack pack. You get this cheese curds with the freaking beef sticks.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it was like
it's protein.
Completely different.
Protein snack. Super good.
It was protein. Okay. That's what it was.
God bless Wisconsin.
Good stuff. So what's the do you guys have like a tradition, any traditions for deer camp? Like, do you cook back straps? Do you, you know, have any chugging contests? Like, what are some of the traditions that you guys do?
Whenever someone shoots a deer, Papa Dave cooks the heart.
Yeah, that's one.
Dude, Papa Dave can cook a heart. I'm telling you that right now. Yeah, that's like our hunting camp tradition is like we cook heart when we have success. And then
so how do you cook it? Is there a way to cook it that you guys do differently than?
Yeah, we slice it thin, clean it out, obviously, slice it thin.
Frying Magic from Walmart.
Yeah, you can put it in batter or you can just saute it in like butter with onions. And
I like the second option.
Season to taste, garlic. And because it's good luck. Man, that's been proven. I swear it is. Because Kurt's like, hey, come over and eat this heart. You'll shoot a deer tomorrow. And sure as shit. Yeah, that's 2 years in a row. And I have another theory. And this is going to sound kind of weird, but you got to hear me out. If you're having a rough streak, one way to help break your rough streak is go get your hair cut, cut your fingernails and your toenails, start clean, and then go out and it'll change your luck.
Start clean. Interesting. You know, this is ours. My one buddy, Joel, I've talked about him many times on my podcast. I don't care if I drop his name. He's the one, you guys probably didn't hear my shit, but you'll have to hear the story. He sniffed my fucking deer out of the woods last year. No joke. He's a maniac.
He'd smell it?
He smelled, dude, I gave up. I couldn't find my deer. I'm like, oh, I didn't get it. I must have just sucked shit at shooting. I don't know.
I've heard that man before, actually.
And he's like, I smelled the musk. I smelled it. I looked over and sure enough, I look and I see a white belly. So he calls me up. He's like, I found your deer. I'm like, what do you mean you found my deer? He's like, well, actually, I sniffed your deer and then I went and found it, but it's your deer. And then he actually dug the three bullets that were mine that I shot in the deer. And here's your bullets. This one's yours, right? I'm like, what? Who are you? But in any event,
I've heard of people doing that.
He wears like this little freaking like vest, and he used to be the smallest guy in the world. But you know, we're all older now, so he's packed down a little bit. I'm not gonna make fun of him here, but
he's stubby as shit. Is what he's wanted to say,
dude. Well, no, he's not that far. He just beefed up a little bit, not in a muscle kind of way, but that vest doesn't fit him so great anymore. But it's this like jean jacket vest, and it's tiny on him, but he wears it every fucking year. And every year he gets the biggest deer, the most deer, and so now. We all wear vests, and we had 8 guys come to deer camp last year, and all 8 guys got a freaking deer.
We can have a vest inside.
I don't know.
Like, yeah, we do. You got Larry McCoy syndrome.
to be the best, you got to wear the vest, and sometimes that's the best way to do it.
So I don't know. It's becoming a weird thing. Like, I'm not serious about it being a real thing, but now we're kind of like, I think we should probably all wear vests.
I think that's amazing. I hope all those vests are denim. But
oh, for sure.
One other thing we do,
Canadian leather jacket.
Yeah. That's amazing. Another thing we do is we have our logo cut out in a big sign in our studio, and it can like we can change it any color we want. And anytime someone shoots a deer, has success during archery season, the logo turns red for a week.
Yeah. Then we made an exception when our homie Gene took down an antelope. Did that for the Heroes Hunting on their television show. He went out to Colorado. But, yeah, if you kill a deer during deer season, yeah, we turn that light red for, like, a week. And it's such a comforting feeling to look up there and be like, red light shining. We're doing it, guys.
Getting it done. We don't have any other food traditions. I know, like, my dad, we used to hunt, like, way up north in Wisconsin, the Nicolet National Forest, and like he got a couple deer every now and again. I never got shit up there, and he had like a little grill in the truck, and he'd cut the back straps out right there, and we cook them on the grill and eat them in the woods in the middle of absolutely nowhere. And I remember that being like one hell of a great memory and awesome tradition. But that one was only predicated on if we got a deer or not.
Right. Yeah. That's part of the fun, you know. You get the reward right away, and probably tastes better just because you're right out there in the middle of nowhere.
Well, yeah, and it's like the freshest meat I've ever had in my entire life. The thing's like laying there dead in front of me. I'm like, thanks for the food, dear.
That's why I can't watch like a lot of these. Well, I like Steve Rinella an awful lot too, but like,
Rinella honestly says that venison's better aged in the freezer than fresh right off the body.
But here's his thing, dude. Like, you know, he's out for like 8-9 days without McDonald's. I might add 8-9 days without McDonald's. And he shoots something, he's like, oh, dude, this is the greatest meal I've ever had. Like, yeah, no shit, dude, because it's been like 9 days since you had real food like a McChicken. You know what I mean? Of course it's going to be delicious.
Well, no, though. I'm kidding. But just certain things, like, it's just that, it's just where you are, and, like, it's almost like the culture of it. You know, like, if you fished all day, and you were starving and you caught a bunch of crappie, you bring the crappie home, you fry the crappie up. Like, that's like one of my best meals I've ever had, probably, is like crappie. I fished all day, caught a bunch of crappie, and ate them. It was
effort, awesome. Effort tastes better than laziness.
For sure.
Boom.
Well, I mean, McDonald's does taste pretty good. So.
Yeah. You run to McDonald's. You know how good that shit tastes?
Yes. Hey, what would you rather eat? Some nice back straps over a deer you just killed, or some processed meat that probably sat in the trailer for like 6, 7, 8 months?
I don't know, man. The picture that McDouble in my mind right now is looking pretty damn good.
I'm telling you, dude, they put some stuff in it that you don't find in the wild.
Yeah,
that's why you don't crave backstraps as much as you crave McChickens, even though they're healthier for you.
Freaking crap.
And better. It's the government, dude.
Backstraps, what we did one year, like my dad every Sunday for dinner would cook backstraps every Sunday night, just like cap off the weekend with like a full belly of just the best backstraps. That's kind of a thing we did. But we did that like as soon as we got deer and until we were out of backstraps. So
you're going to shoot more deer.
Yeah, right. Shoot more. Well, we do this. So, like, I was saying before we hit the record button, like, deer camp for me starts, like, so last year, you know, so I'm in a house now. I've been in this house for a little over a year, so that's like a newish thing in my life. And we got a bar in the basement, and it's, you know, I didn't build it, but it's cool. One of the selling points of the house. And my buddy who I went to high school with, he's never hunted before, and he lives in Michigan now, across the pond. And he finally decided to come hunting with us last year for the first time ever. So he's like, all right, cool, man. Well, I'll drive out to you the night before, and then we'll drive up together. I'm like, that sounds great. So he gets here the day before we leave. So it's Thursday night. We leave on a Friday morning. And he puts on a blaze orange jumpsuit, one of the blaze orange wear to hunt hats, sits at the bar, and we're drinking Busch Light. And he's like, dude, I'm so freaking excited. He doesn't even know what he's getting into, not even a clue. And so I asked him after the whole weekend. He got his first deer this year, or 2017, had a blast. And I'm like, so you coming back for 2018? He's like, are you freaking kidding me? I'm a lifer. I'm doing this every year for the rest of my life now.
That's awesome.
That's great.
What it's about, man.
It's super freaking cool. But like, so we actually have this is like a weird, I don't know if it's like I made it a tradition, but my dad, when I used to drive up north with him when I was a kid and growing up and stuff up to the Nicolet, he would play just like all the music he listened to from back in the 60s from, you know, his era. And it's all like Pink Floyd and Zeppelin and Government Mule and Joe Bonamassa. Joe Bonamassa's newer, but so now on my way up, I make a point, no matter who's in my car or truck or whatever, we play basically Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd the whole entire way.
I'm not mad at that. That's awesome.
So I don't know. Do you guys have a hunting playlist? Like, everyone's got something, right?
I don't have a hunting playlist. Like, it goes by year for me. Like, the last 2 years, I guess I had a song.
Dude, I rolled up during, do you remember this during deer camp? It was so cold one morning, dude. I was rolling out listening to Gucci Mane, Icy. sometimes I like to listen to music for the gimmick of it.
Yeah.
I worked in a record store. Like, music was my life before comedy and hunting was. So, dude, like, it doesn't matter.
I can trust you there.
Yeah. So to me, it's what I'm feeling like. You don't want to get like too pumped up. Like I don't think you should go listen to like Pantera and then you get like all jacked up and make a shitload of noise when you're walking into this, you know, and just like,
I listened to the last 2 years. My song was Sky is the Limit by Yellow Wolf. I would just play that.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you think like, oh, it's impossible, Sky's the Limit. Not that it's not really the message in a song, but you know what the album I kept coming back to was for some reason I had heard it right before I heard a song off it. And, you know, there again, I mix it up, but the consistent album that I always turn to was like, if I wasn't in podcast, was Era Vulgaris by Queens of the Stone Age. And for some reason, I just kept listening to that. I don't know.
How's that one go? Is that the one that like I always hear on the radio? Dan, dan. Dan, 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 dan. Is that one?
No, that's off of a different.
Damn it.
Which album is that off? And that song's from Death. Yeah, but I mean it's the same band.
You made me sing for nothing.
Yeah, no. If you ever look at the album cover, it's like two light bulbs. One's got a pirate hat, and the other one's broken. All but right. For some reason, that I just kept like I heard it, and I just kept coming back to it. So that was the most recent one. So I'll say Air Vulgaris. Who knows? Next year
we should just try my song, bro, because that's out of luck on my end. So maybe I should do that.
Thanks to you. Yeah. All right. Yeah. If you ask, if you ask Eric and Doug, what's that shit they listen to? Tenacious D.
Tenacious D. Do you listen to anything Tenacious D? Really? That's their good luck.
No, they have a specific song.
No, that's any album.
Oh, it was any album. Okay.
Any Tenacious D song. Because I listened to Tenacious D before the afternoon hunt when I killed my buck last year.
Oh,
I
did?
Yeah, because that's how shitty of a season I was having. I forgot about that. I forgot.
So Eric is on the podcast too, and Doug, if you ask them, their tradition to have a good season is you have to watch Escobana into Moonlight
season
starts. Before season starts. And they watch it during, and then Tenacious D. I swear to God, they had a song that they said that works every time.
Well, there's the one that I'm thinking about. Because the lyrics are like, what is that? I want to you gently. Ball you discreetly.
Yeah, that's one of them. But I trust when I asked them because we were like, we talked about it on our podcast. Like,
the greatest song in the world, is it that one? That's another one of those, right?
Dude, I don't know. I thought they wouldn't shit up. It's any Tenacious D song, bro.
I thought they had a specific song.
You're wrong.
Probably.
You're wrong.
There's something to that. Like, I did a road trip. Not road trip. That's not the right way to call it. I drove to Wisconsin Dells. It's a 2-hour road trip. I got off of work at like 10:30 at night this one day, and I used to do this camping trip every single year for Memorial Day weekend with my buddies. There's like 20 freaking people. This is not deer camp, but it's like the next best thing. Drunk fest at a 21 old campground. And I got off of work so damn late. Usually I was the first one up there. This time I was the last one. So I listened to Rage Against the Machine the entire car ride there, drank two energy drinks. By the time I got there, I was like, well, let's freaking go. And I was all crazy. And they're all sitting around the bike. I'm like, what the fuck? Let's go. And I went to the bar and I got like, 20 shots. And it was insane. So never again drive 2 hours straight, listen to just Rage Against the Machine on full blast in your car by yourself drinking, Red Bulls.
Fuck you. I won't do what you tell me.
Yeah, man. Like, I was ready to like fight someone. It was crazy.
Those who die. I might work in the morning, like in a morning November hunt.
I mean, I feel like if that's the first song, because I got to drive like 45 minutes to where I'm hunting.
Don't
so,
shut it off.
I mean, dude, like, maybe the first, like, just to wake you up, but like right when you're pulling into your spot, you shouldn't have subwoofer.
No, you know what I do? I turn the music down. This is actually funny you mentioned this. The music goes off as I turn down the lane I'm going into hunt, and I full-blown focus mode.
Oh, there you go.
In the zone.
That's like, powerful right there.
What's up, man? The radio shouldn't shut off when you're... You're right. That's what I was saying.
No, like, it goes off. Like, I'm telling you, it's down, and I slow cruise. Like, if I'm on a gravel... There's a gravel lane to one of my hunting properties. I roll the window down, and I slow cruise, and I just, like, feel the vibe.
Dude, I kind of... I do that, too, but I do... I don't...
You for sure don't.
No, I do.
I'm just saying that because I said that.
Yeah, okay, whatever. No, dude... If you got subwoofers in your truck, dude, you have to turn that down like a mile away.
Nah, yeah, you don't. You might want to let them know. You want to give them a fair chance that you're going to be there.
Just let them dump. Let them get some cans for they meet their maker.
So the Wisconsin DNR put out a service bulletin.
There was I heard about this.
There's a Sasquatch alert.
Gigantopithecus.
Yep. I call them the dumb monkey, but whatever you want to Bigfoot. I don't know. Dude, there is a legitimate Wisconsin State. Visitors are warned that recent Sasquatch sightings have been reported in the Wisconsin DNR. Not surprising.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that was a legit thing that they put out. I'm pretty sure that was like last week, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Last week, yeah. And there's a lot of people that are really concerned. I say, I just wonder when Sasquatch season's going to start officially. They got elk hunting in Wisconsin. I was like, we ought to just get some Sasquatch tags and see how many people can actually go in the woods and hunt this thing.
Well, the problem with the Sasquatch thing is we talked about this on our podcast a few episodes ago, and I got some backlash for this. The problem is people don't want to acknowledge the existence, and that's the thing. Like, people don't know how to look for the sign. It's just where... You get a bunch of rookie guys and you throw them on an awesome piece of ground, they're not going to know where the big bucks are bedding right off the gate, because they don't know what to look for. They're ignorant to it, where you got to just know what to look for. Like you said, your boy could sniff out a dead deer. There's a little bit of that. That's his experience, When you got a guy that's
you know, has experience with Bigfoot, has seen these Bigfoot in the woods, knows these pinch points and funnels these big feet are using, if you will.
We found a Sasquatch toenail once, and then so we tracked it. And then, like, we found some Sasquatch fur. That's the thing.
That's the best sign, actually, is to find what log the Bigfoot sat on when he clipped his big feet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the best place to look.
Well, it's actually
yeah, it's been their most time. It's the bedding spot.
It's around, I think he did typically about a month and a half after deer are shedding all their antlers when the antler growth starts. So right about now-ish is when Bigfoot shed their toenails. Because they're going to grow new toenails every year.
Like, clip them, bro. I mean, geez.
Yeah, they cut them off. Yeah, it's a willing thing, but they know clip them off this time.
Well, people are like, how do you know how to find them? Because I've never seen any Sasquatch scat. I'm like, well, you can't just look for the scat. You gotta, it's on. They wipe their ass. They got hairy asses.
Dude, no, bro. They're intelligent. They take it with them.
You look for the pine cones, and if it's got shit on it, you know a Sasquatch was there. So
they take it with them. They're intelligent. They take it with them. They know. Some do. It depends on the age of the Sasquatch.
Or
mature ones take it with them.
But the thing is, a lot of people discredit coyote shit for Sasquatch shit. You know, are they like, you know, that's not Bigfoot. That's a coyote because they have the same diet, essentially.
I mean, you know, you think of a, you know, again, mature Sasquatches take their shit with them. But young Squatch.
I disagree with that.
What they do,
because then what do they do with the shit once they take it with them?
If they dispose of it properly.
Throw it in the river.
But, you know, an older older Sam Squinch, or a younger one, I'm sorry, because they stand so high off the ground, by the time the poop hits the ground, it disintegrates because their diet allows them to have very, very soft stool. So it's not going to hold up from a 5-foot drop from the anus to the ground. So it's just going to dissipate. So you're not going to find scat that way. That's the younger ones.
The older ones
will collect if there are any pieces, because the older you get, the harder the stool gets because your diet changes.
It's too deep on Sasquatch shit, man.
That's where I'm at.
Scat is interesting, but bro,
so
I don't know if I believe all that.
I always thought, though, like, if they're living off the land in such a great manner, like if I was just to eat my macros, would I even shit? Would I ever take a poo?
Word.
Right?
Word.
I'm just getting all the
big and hairy.
Period. There's nothing. There's no waste. I'm not wasting anything. Maybe they don't even shoot.
Good point.
Maybe we're wrong.
Well, a lot of people, which is crazy to me, discredit the fact that Bigfoot even exists. But I'm like, when's the last time you saw a 200-inch typical whitetail? That's right. You haven't. You know?
But they're on people's walls.
Not everyone's wall.
Some people's. Not everyone's.
Those are replicas.
The thing is,
hey, let's look at
Bass Pro bought them all. Just how the government bought all the Sasquatch mount.
Exactly. Do this. Next time you feel like, you know, that's a shitty argument, look up the spots where every 200 plus inch deer has been killed, which exists, and look up Sasquatch sightings. And I guarantee they're about the same.
That's probably 100% correct.
So they're usually in the marsh or somewhere in Oregon.
You know,
we don't have that here. I think we have the one Sasquatch here in Wisconsin. There's just one. So the fact that we had all these sightings, like, he must have been pretty active. I don't know if it's their mating season right now or what. I mean, spring.
Probably just a slight rut, or maybe just a juvenile kind of wandered away. Just how every now and again you see a moose in, like, northwest Iowa.
Yeah.
Probably the same type of situation. Nothing really to be alarmed. Like, he'll find his way back home, but, you know. Really,
I mean,
shocking
so
to people in Wisconsin.
The DNR post, for the record, states, like, always remember to hike in pairs and stay on the trail at all times. If contact is made with a Squatch, try and stay calm and do not run. It says, if possible, take a photograph and note the time and area of the sighting, but most sightings have predominantly occurred at night. So you got to be really careful at night.
Yeah, nocturnal movement, typical.
Yeah, I mean, then this is just rule of thumb. I mean, if you're out in the woods at night and you're typically bumping a couple Squatch, you're probably going to bump a couple Slendermen too. So just, you know, take it as...
Well, the deal is, like, the hunters, they bump all the Sasquatch at night. That's why you're not seeing any movement pressure.
Yeah.
This is square one.
It is. Because if you ever watch most Squatch hunting shows, they're always hunting at night. They're bumping them all out. And because they're an advanced ape, the retina is enlarged so they can see at night really, really well. So they're getting out of there.
Yeah, you bump a 200-inch whitetail at midnight because you're tromping around like an idiot. You think you're going to kill him the next morning?
Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, that's why you're not finding them.
Yeah, exactly. It's basic. It's one-on-one hunting. You know, right. Get it together.
Usually when you find the jackalopes is when you find the Squatch. I'm just saying.
They're typically tend to be in the same mythical type of areas. That's a
fact. It's their favorite diet.
Yes. Yes.
So now we know. Jackal. We know how to deal with Sasquatch.
You know?
I mean, if I had to call it, like, Remington, the bullet that killed Sasquatch, I would be rich.
Well, you know what? The thing is, like, we joke about the jackal thing. We actually have a jackal mount in the studio.
There it is,
right above my head. I shot it in Texas in 94. I was 4 years old.
They're jackal brut.
So it's like Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris was the guide for that particular hunt. Yeah.
Sasquatch and Chuck Norris are the same thing.
That's why we
can't find him, because Sasquatch is actually Chuck Norris, which, by the way, Sasquatch invented water.
I believe that. I'll go along with it. Why do you think Walker, Texas Ranger was such a goddamn hit? You know, we missed that show. Bring it back. Please bring it back.
Bring it back.
Bring Walker, right. Texas Ranger back. Hashtag before that.
So there's a real taste of deer camp for everybody listening. This is the nonsense that goes on at deer camp.
We are idiots. We are absolutely idiots. Thanks for having us, man. I can't believe this will never happen again.
He's never going to air this episode.
People are like, what the fuck are these guys talking about?
He's going to have lizards like
the whole time. It's going to take a minute to sink in.
There's all these gobbledygooks on here.
That's what happens when you bring an open micer onto the Where to Hunt podcast.
Me and Steve have this debate. Well, I have the debate a lot of times about Bigfoot a lot on our show. So it's something fun we do, like normally at the end like this. But we actually have the debate and we get heated.
Yeah, no, we get heated because I don't believe in Sasquatch.
I want to believe, and I will say that there is some weird shit in Wisconsin. There's the Beast of Bray Road. There's something else called the Wendigo. There's some cheesy-ass movies made about these things. There's some really weird shit that goes on over by Holy Hill that no one can explain. Some Indian burial grounds.
You know, the weirdest shit is that, like, not that all these things go, but, like, people are actually Packers fans. That's the weirdest shit that goes on in Wisconsin.
At that point, I just kicked out the show. It's just,
this is a primarily, like, Wisconsin-based, like, it is a Wisconsin-based podcast.
Yeah, and I'm wondering why the hell there's, like, you know, I get that. Eric, if it makes you feel better, I don't give a fuck about sports. I don't watch it.
I'm a Cincinnati Bengals fan, so I shouldn't have any hate for the Packers, but I do. You just do because... For no reason.
I do. Like,
they're the most loved team in America. There's Packer bars in like
every single state. Just because you guys think you have like 40,000 owners, have one owner. Easy. Tired of that shit, dude.
So how do people? How do
it was
people
a good. I own part of the Packers.
How do people find the working bull class? I can't speak. The working class bull hunter podcast.
Oh, he's mad.
Two Bush lattes, and I'm already in the bag.
Bag.
I love it. How they find us, workingclassbowhunter.com. You can find every episode we've ever done there on the homepage.
Do you guys got a favorite iTunes episode you want to call out? Is there like one that like, dude, you should listen to this one if you're ever going to listen?
For you Wisconsinites? I don't know. Allison.
Allison was fun. She drove down and was in the studio. I'd say scroll through if you see a name or a topic that I think you just go through any of our episodes and listen to one. Then that's the best way. Maybe you'll get hooked. Maybe you'll absolutely never listen to us again. So I'm not going to tell you to pick one. Just grab one. And then figured we'd sell our product that way. You should be able to listen to anyone and kind of do what we're trying to do.
Boom.
But yeah, Libsyn, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Facebook, Instagram, all that, all social media stuff. It's all Working Class Bowhunter or WCB Bowhunter. We're out there.
Cool. Steve, do you want anybody to follow your stand-up stuff?
You can, but like I tie that in. Just follow my Instagram, Steve WCB Podcast. Sometimes I upload some stuff there. I probably should do a better job of it, but I don't.
We'll change that from this podcast on. We're gonna put more of your stand up on your shit.
Right.
We'll put it on our stuff.
We should. Yeah, usually the local people know where to find me, but if you're, you know, if you're ever in the area or you're like, hey, come up and do a set in Wisconsin, you need like a media pack, I'll
yeah, if
send
you're
that
ever
to
up
you
here,
if
I'm
you
gonna
guys
come
ever
check that
me
out, by the way. Like you should maybe even like, I'm not telling you how to do your stand up career, but you should try to book some Wisconsin shows. I'll be your number
one. Sure.
Fan.
I was telling you that the other day, man. You should try Chicago, Wisconsin, Iowa, just go like book them. I can't wait to get up there. I'm like, hey, you know what I really hate is most beers in America, the Packers. Man, what did I got to talk about Wisconsin?
You'll get a laugh. It was rock. And then like, they'll be like, well, okay, some of you better say, really, you, the next thing better actually be funny.
Everybody hits you with Sasquatch cat. Who's like,
Sasquatch we love cat. Sasquatch, that's awesome. For sure.
Well, thanks for having
guys,
us, man.
I'm glad you came on the show. Like, it's an honor to have you guys here. We'll do it more. This won't be the last one.
We appreciate it, man. Just give us a call if you ever need anything, man. Just let us know.
Yeah, we'll do. Thanks for stopping in.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, brother. Have a good one, guys. Go shoot your bow.
All right, so the tip of the week this week, there's a whole bunch of them, actually. And it's not a tip, more than it's a list of great pranks for deer cam. So I did a bit of Google searching to try to get creative for this one. And maybe just jot some of these down or take note of it or cue this podcast up when deer hunting season actually kicks off, especially for gun when you actually get around with all your buddies and stuff if you're not doing that for bow already. But man, there's some nasty ideas in this list. I'll cover a couple of them, but there's some simple ones that seem pretty straightforward. I'd love to hear some stories too. If anyone's got them, you know, I haven't really done this before and I haven't really heard from fans. It's probably maybe because I haven't asked, but you know, most smartphones these days come with a recording app with some feature. And if you want to just simply record into your phone and tell me a hunting story where you played a prank on some of your buddies or had a prank played on you, I'd love to get that into one of the next episodes or upcoming episodes and maybe even stockpile a bunch of those for when November rolls around. It'd be a fun one to listen to. So keep that in mind. You can email me at where2huntwi at gmail.com. It's where2huntwi@gmail.com. You can send it to me on Facebook. You can send it to me. I think there's a form post on the where2huntapp.com website. However you choose to get that to me, I'd be happy to have it if you're willing to share. That being said, there's a couple tried and true ones. Trick your buddy with a decoy or a shoulder mount. That's pretty funny. I don't know about the shoulder mount one because I doubt you want someone to actually take a crack at that thing. Suck to get another arrow into it or something like that, or even worse. And then, you know, with the advent of trail cams, there's a lot of fun ideas you could do there. And I've seen some of these too. I think we all have, like the creepy looking ghost at night or whatever. But you can dress up. Maybe, you know, I'm not saying go drag queen or anything, but or encouraging cross-dressing or anything like that. But certainly you could dress up and run past your buddy's trail cam a couple different times, get a good rise out of them that way. And you could also, like, you can actually put, you know, big deer on camera. If you are stealthy enough to go in and get the cards out before they ever go and check them, you could obviously do some Photoshopping if you know any graphic designers or anything like that. You put a predator pick in there too. Another idea. Maybe it's something, you just put a T-Rex in there or something to be super goofy about it. Or you could be a little bit more realistic and pop a couple wolf pictures in there if they haven't had that before. Get them all riled up. You know, one that actually would piss me off, this is one of the ones I saw, is hang another stand close by. And it's a public land hunter. That happens often enough as it stands. So, you know, I don't know about that one. Maybe that one's a little too close to home for me. But another one, whoopee cushion on the deer stand. Maybe. I feel like that just wouldn't have the... I want to see their face when this prank happens. I want to see what happens. So I want to be in sight. Or maybe a little bit more dramatic than that. I think putting a mannequin in someone's stand would be pretty funny if they're already set up. There's another one about, like, flour in the face. Putting some flour or powder in, a buck run collar or something like that. Kind of lackluster. There is something my buddy used to do called poofing where he'd actually take paper towels and put some flour in and wrap up like a rubber band around it and he'd toss it at people. I don't know. That sounds kind of stupid too, I guess. Man, I'm not actually liking some of these now that I'm reading them out loud. I was reading them to myself and I was kind of chuckling a little bit. The dropping disguise. I'd love to know if someone's done this. You just take some raisins with you. And if you got a newbie hunter with you, which I did last year, so it would've been a good opportunity. I could still pull it off next year if he doesn't hear this episode. But simply just take some raisins, plop them next to the turds when they're not looking, and hey, man, you got to eat these. You got to eat these turds and make sure that they actually eat the turd. If you want to know if it's a buck or if you want to know if it's a doe, if you eat it, you'll figure it out. They have a different taste. I could totally see that being a hilarious one. A pretty cruel one would be finding someone's deer before they do and hiding it. It's a lot of work. So I don't know. People do some pretty crazy things at deer camp, though. I'd be curious to know if anyone's ever done something like that. It seems like it'd be pretty mean. Coyote call at night, drawing a pack of coyotes, scare the shit out of some people. Maybe. I also wouldn't want to get shot. So rubber snake in a sleeping bag, dopey by the bed. I think the meanest one I've seen actually so far is resetting someone's alarm clock. So that one could really mess with someone and piss them off. But everyone's got smartphones nowadays, so the likelihood of you getting a hold of someone else's phone and resetting their time or their clock, less likely than maybe in the past. So just a couple ideas. This article is a little old, the one that I got some of these from. I'm sure I could get 100 more ideas from all of y'all that listen to this show. I would love to hear it again. Feel free to reach out any way that you want, that makes sense, whatever's easiest for you. If you feel comfortable doing something like that, I think it'd be awesome. I think the rest of us would love to listen to it. I don't need your name or anything like that. Just the story itself would be cool. So that's all I got for my quote-unquote tip of the week. I hope everyone enjoyed this episode. And as always, hunt public.